gives instructions to his sons, saying, Parabhavastavara bodhajato, yavanna jignasata atmatatvan, yavat kriyastavani dhammadumvai, karmatmakam yena sharira bandaha, that the reason that we're implicated in the material energy, even though we're spirit souls, is because we've accepted the three modes of material nature and we've become contaminated by them. And this is called karmatmaka. Karmatmaka means colored by the three modes of material nature. Even though the spirit soul is pure in his original state, because he's infinitesimal, when he comes in contact with the three modes of material nature, he accepts those modes and becomes affected by them. Purusha prakriti stohi bhunkte prakriti jangunan karanam gunasango sya sarasad yoni janmasu. The soul has sangha with the three modes, which are sattva, rajas, and tamas. These are the three qualities of the material world. And when the soul comes in contact with those three qualities, which are generated from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, daivahi esha gunamayi, mama maya duratyaya, mameva ye prabhanjante, maya metam tarantite, then he has a hard time moving around because he's now bound down. He's a bound down jiva, bound down by these gunas. They're like ropes. They tie him down. So then his plight in the material world is called parabhavas. Parabhavas tavara bodhijato. He is in ignorance. And therefore, parabhava means he's defeated at every step. Everything we do is defeated in this world. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, for those who are without his shelter, mogasha muga karma no moga jnana vichetasa raksha simasurim chaiva prakriti mohinim shrita. That if people don't take shelter of him, they take shelter of atheistic philosophy, then mogasha moga karmano, their karma, whatever they think they develop, it becomes baffled ultimately. Mogasha moga karmano mogi jnana, their cultivation of knowledge also becomes baffled. So every endeavor that one takes without the shelter of Krishna becomes defeated. Parabhavas tavat abodajato. Yavatna jignasata atmatatvan. Until one comes to inquire and ask, what is the purpose of life? How do I get out of this? He wants atmatattva, or the truth of himself, and he becomes jignasu. He becomes inquisitive to know about that. Until he comes to that point, tavat kriyas tavat idam manovai karmatmakam yena sharira bandaha. His consciousness is colored by these three modes of material nature, sattva, rajas, and tamas. And therefore, karmatmakam, yena, sharira bandaha. Sharira bandaha means he's obligated to take another birth, birth after birth after birth. So the soul actually is not meant for this repetition of birth and death in the material world, but he becomes obligated to do so because of his association with the three modes of material nature. So therefore, this verse is recommending that we not become implicated in the temporary nature of this world. It's always changing, and it won't satisfy us. The body's changing. Gaurav's body is changing. And it's my body's changing. Everybody's changing. And it'll only last for a short amount of time. Everything that we have, all our possessions are changing. We may have lots of jewelry. We're collecting jewelry. But that jewelry, somehow or other, we'll lose it. My mother actually came home from vacation the other day and found her house burgled. And all her jewelry gone. And so it goes. The government will take it. Somebody else will take it. It's not actually ours. But because we keep an attachment to these things, my car, my house, my wife, my family, my children, we're thinking in this way that all these things are mine, but they will change. They will move on. But the soul, what is the part that doesn't change? The part that's the Atma. The Atma will be the same in 5 years. It'll be the same in 50 years. It'll be the same in 50,000 years. It'll be the same. Your Atma will not change in 50 million years. It'll remain the same. But that unchanging Atma that will be the same in 50 million years somehow or other has become now enamored by this changing movie show that's going on in the material world, and therefore we're casting our attention there and we're becoming attached. And this is called karmatmaka. Karmatmaka yena sharira bandaha. And this obligates us to take one birth after another. What is the attractive feature of this material world? It's described here. Janmaishvarya shruta shribir. This is a janma, birth, that I have some position because I come from a long line of princes or PhDs or whatever you think of, truck drivers, garbage people. We are the garbage people. It's not everyone, even a pauper, is proud of his penny. Janma Aishvarya, and even Aishvarya, everyone has some little bit of opulence and thinks this is, I'm very proud of my opulence. Even birds, I watch these birds near my house. There's lots of trees around and I can sit and watch them. They're all, you know, fighting over it. Some of them very proud. They're, you know, cleaning themselves like, you know, here I am. Crows especially are very arrogant, I notice, and they fight all the time over their one little branch they'll fight over. You know, that I have, this is my tree. This is my branch. And it goes on in human society too. If you look at a map of Iraq and that whole area there, you'll see there's an online presentation that shows the changes that it's gone through over the last 400 or 500 years. And it goes from one color to the next of all these conquerors. People have come and gone. And it just changes, you know, as the timeline moves. Red, yellow, blue, you know, and it, over and over and over and over and over again. Same land, but everyone's fighting over it. Just like the crows near my house, they fight over a little branch. Everyone has some little perch here in the material world. This is my perch. I'm an American. I'm a Swiss. You go to Switzerland, very proud. We're on time. Everything works right. Janmaishvaya Shribir. And Shribir, beauty. If you get some beauty, then it's very easy to become intoxicated by that beauty. And then money, when you get money also, it makes people think that I'm okay. And now I have money, I'll be fine. Janmaishvaya Shruta Shribir, and learning that I've become very intelligent. I can figure it out for myself. So this is called a kind of intoxication. Edamanan madak puman. Mada means you become mad, like you're intoxicated. So the solution is that one should not have a one-sided struggle for existence, simply taking shelter of these things, but one must also cultivate knowledge. Therefore, the Sriya Upanishad says, vidyam cha yas tad vedo bayam saha. Avidyaya mrtum tirdva vidyaya mrtum ashnute. Vidyayam ritum ashnute. If you want to taste actual nectar and not be continue to be churned by the modes of material nature, life after life, you have to get vidya. Vidyam cha yas tadvedo bayam saha. You have to know the difference between knowledge and ignorance. And you have to cultivate vidya so that you can bring down this material intoxication. This being enamored of the Janma, Aishvarya, Shruta, and Shri, so that you can see that actually my real benefit in life is spiritual profit, of gaining spiritual profit. And the whole summary of how one should take to spiritual life is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the second chapter. Tasmad ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam bhati shotavya kirtitavyascha dyeya pujas tanityada. The Bhagavatam gives this very concise formula for how one can become free from the intoxication of the modes of material nature and this karmatmaka, coloring of the consciousness through contact with the modes of material nature. And this tasmat ekena manasa, that the mind must be forward-looking on one point. Tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam patihi. We should take shelter of the Lord who is giving shelter to all his dependents. The Lord's very kind, very kind. Whereas Maya is very cruel. Because if we take shelter of Maya, it's like running away from our benevolent parents, and we take shelter under some cruel foster parent who mistreats us, starves us, and then tortures us. And then we're in a very unhealthy situation. But the Lord is Sattvatampati. He's actually the benefactor of the devotees. He's always looking how to help his devotees. In fact, he says in the Bhagavad Gita, Ananyas Chintayanto Mam Yejana Pariupasate Tesham Yukta Yogakshema Mahamyaham. There was once a Brahmin, and he was a great scholar. And he was writing a commentary on the Bhagavad Gita. And he came to this verse. And he says, and this says, Yogakshemam Bahami. Bahami means that the Lord personally carries what a devotee lacks, and he preserves what he has. And this, he was a devotee and a great learned scholar, but he was thinking, he had some doubt. He thought, actually, it's not personally. I mean, Krishna has so many energies. It's not personally that Krishna delivers carries what we lack and preserves what we have. It's through his energies. And therefore, he made three little lines through that, and he changed it so that it meant something else in Sanskrit, that it meant that actually, through his energies, he performs these things. Then he went out to take his afternoon ablutions and do some shopping to bring back the necessities for cooking and everything in the house. And his wife was home, and soon this little boy came to the door. Dark complexion. And he had brought all these foodstuffs, enough for 6 months. And she was overwhelmed that, who are you and where'd you come from? They were actually very poor. And she was surprised to see all these things and this young boy bringing them. And he said, oh, yes, I met your husband and he asked me to bring all these things and I'm bringing them for you. And then she noticed that he had three marks on him that were like, there was some, violence. Someone had cut him like three times, and she was, what happened to you? That you've been cut like that? He said, I had some disagreement. It was your husband, and I got these marks. And she was incredulous of what had happened. So when the husband came home sometime later with some of the groceries, she said, oh, that boy you sent here already brought all these things, 6 months worth of things. And he said, I didn't send any boy. Who are you talking about? And she said, no, you sent him. And by the way, he had said that you had scarred him. He said, I didn't see a boy. I didn't touch a boy. I didn't. What's going on? And in this state of confusion, he went to his Bhagavad Gita, where he was writing the commentary, and he noticed that the marks had been reversed, had been taken out. And he realized, actually, that from that Krishna had personally come and delivered his necessities, and that he was showing him that this is violence, that you're thinking that I am not personally delivering these things. So Krishna says, Yogakshema Mahamyam, I personally take care of the devotees. So, tasmat ekena manasa bhagavan sattvatam patihi shrotavya kirtitavyasya dyeya pujasya nityada means this is the process for overcoming our dependence on material nature. Shrotavya means we have to hear about Krishna. And this is given in a succession in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shushru Shro Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Katarichi Sian Mahat Sevaya Vipra Punya Tirta Nishevana. By serving this sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam and by serving those who personify that sound vibration of the Srimad Bhagavatam, then great service is done. And by that, one gains affinity for hearing the transcendental sound vibration of the Bhagavatam rather than hearing the soccer match or the football match, or rather than hearing the mundane things of this world that everyone's attracted to. Prahlad Maharaj said that my senses are all attracted to different things. My eyes want to see the cinema, and my ears want to hear these pop songs, and my tongue wants to taste all kinds of, you know, forbidden things. So the senses are like that. But if we serve the Bhagavatam and we serve the devotees, then we'll actually gain an affinity. Then Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyan Taksto Hibhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. Krishna is in our heart and he will purify the desires that we have in our heart. How is it that we can understand Krishna? How is it that we can come in contact with Krishna since we're stuck in the material modes of nature? How is it that if a guru is speaking words, they're imperfect also, because they're words, they're coming from a material tongue, they're coming from the vocabulary of A, B, C, D. So how is it that they will descend, that Krishna will descend there? How is it that if I hear with my ears, after all, it's just a contraption, it's got little drum in there and it's got little fibers that pick up the sound vibrations and it's gone through a nerve into my brain, that's material. How will I understand Krishna? By hearing the sound vibration and coming through a material ear into a material brain. How is it that I'll understand? How is that possible? The reason is because if one is submissive to the process and one surrenders in a mood of service, tadvidi pranipatena, pariprashnena sevaya, if one's actually inquisitive and offers one's obeisances to the person who's speaking and to the very idea that it's coming down from Krishna, then Krishna will descend within that sound vibration. He actually becomes present. But not to those who are not surrendered. If someone doesn't surrender, they can read Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and they can become great scholars. But Krishna will not descend. He will not be present there. So we must take this process of sharanagati, of surrender to Krishna, means, first of all, we should accept things favorable for devotional service. If something's favorable, we should seriously consider accepting it. If something's unfavorable, we should seriously consider. We should have planning commissions in our home and meetings that we should consider rejecting it. We may not be able to reject it right away. Sometimes these material attachments we have are very hard to give up. They have teeth, and you know, they're dug in deep. But at least we should consider it, how to give them up. We should have some kind of a meeting and a consideration of how am I going to give this thing up. And by that consideration that I want to give it up, and in the combination of hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam and serving the Bhagavatas, those who represent the Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna manifests and he helps us. He removes those anartas for us. He takes the teeth out of those anartas so they become toothless. And they try to bite, you know, they look like they're going to bite, but they no longer have any effect over us. They just gum, like gums, you know, like the snake who's all along the Parikram path in Vrindavan. There's these kids, they have, mostly in Govardhan, they have these cobras in a basket. And you try to get donations. And they bring the cobra over and they open the basket and try to, here. But they have no teeth, those cobras. They take the teeth out usually so that, you know, they can't hurt anybody, and everyone knows it, so it's pretty much a joke. So if we surrender to Krishna and we take this process, then Krishna will take the teeth out of these anardas. So shotavya kirtitavyascha means kirtan, means glorifying Krishna. Kirtan means kirti, which means fame. To spread Krishna's fame wider and wider, this is kirtan. So if we dedicate our lives to spreading Krishna's fame all over the world through this Sankirtan, then very quickly we become purified. There's no other process in this age except for Sankirtan. Chanting the holy names of the Lord, he has manifested his name in this age of Kali Yuga, and if we take shelter of the holy name of the Lord, then we'll have his association. Kirtitavyasya dhyaya pujasya netida. We should meditate upon him, and we should worship him through the puja for Krishna. Then, very easily, we can become purified from the effects of the three modes of material nature. Well, actually, it's not so easy. It's a process. It's a long process. Also, the quality of our chanting is very important. This is the statement in this purport. Prabhupada says that chanting with a feeling that I'm very helpless and that I'm crying out for Krishna and in a mood of surrender, this will have effect. But if I feel completely satisfied materially, or I think that I'm the master, I'm in control, everything's okay, and then we chant, in fact, it'll be very hard to chant in that way, and we'll gradually give it up. But if we chant with a feeling of great satisfaction materially, then the effect is not the same. So we need to understand actually how helpless we are through cultivating this sambandha gyan, seeing that actually I'm a lost soul. I'm floating in this brahmanda. I don't know where I'm going in my next life. I don't even know how I got here from my last life. But I'm very fortunate to have come into this position, and I need to take advantage of it. And it's this desire which is the most important aspect of our devotional service. When Srila Prabhupada was asked, in fact, this is from Rupa Goswami, but when Srila Prabhupada was asked, what is it that is the determining factor for how you make advancement? And Prabhupada said, it's your anxiety. It's your absolute anxiety to obtain it. And the way Rupa Goswami says is that it's your greed. Tatalolyam. He calls it lolyam, or it's like a greed that you have to have it. There's a verse from the Shastra which says that just as a miser counts his coins over and over again, you know, they collect all this money and they make more money and you've got $260 million a year coming in, but next year you're going to try to double it and make more money. And then he goes through and counts the coins over and over again to see how much more it's gained through interest. He can't, like Prabhupada pointed out, he can only eat 4 to 6 chapatis anyway. So it doesn't matter if you have $260 million, you can still only eat 4 chapatis. But still, he's counting it over and over again, in a miserly way. But the way this matches to us is, we should be like that for devotional service, to see how much compounded interest we're getting, to our rounds, how we're chanting our rounds. If we get an opportunity to be an association of devotees, we should fly there. We should be there. We should be there for the thing. We should sit up front. We should get the opportunity to hear that vibration. If there's some good association, go there. Be there. Be greedy for it. You know, I remember when Srila Prabhupada came to Washington, D.C. in 1976. We were there. I was there with Pragosh and Subhuti Roy. We had been stationed there to work the national airport. We were distributing books there. And we came home on 4th of July, 1976 was the bicentennial, and Prabhupada said, we heard Prabhupada said he wanted to go see the fireworks and to see the downtown area where all the, you know, the big Capitol buildings were and everything. And we said, he wants to see it. Let's go. So everyone got in cars, and Prabhupada was in an SUV up front. They didn't have SUVs back there, so it was really rare. So he had an SUV, a Wagoneer he was in. It belonged to the temple, I believe. And then everyone else followed behind in a caravan of cars. And the devotees were so eager to get a glimpse of Prabhupada that they were cutting each other off, trying to cut in to be a little closer to Prabhupada's car just to see, you know, that the Prabhupada was in there. What's he doing now? And so there's a feeling like this that we should have, that we should try to be in there, try to get this service. If it's available, run there. Try to get it. It's this greed that actually counts in devotional service. If we're lazy about chanting and we think that I'll put it off till tomorrow, I'll just do a little bit today, tomorrow I'll do the rest, then Krishna will treat us like that too. Ye yatamam prapadyante tamstataiva bhajamyaham mama vartanta manushya parta sarvasha. That Krishna is rewarding us according to our level of surrender. So if we're intensely desirous to please Krishna and we know what's available, we should cultivate that, try to take it, and Krishna will give us all help to move forward. And at all costs, we should avoid this intoxication by the material nature. It's so prevalent, and we can notice it in ourselves and cultivate the spirit of Trinada Pisunichena, Torori Vasahishuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadahari. This is the most important point, that we have to be humble like the grass, that we have to be tolerant like a tree, that we have to be ready to give respects to all others and not expect respect for ourselves, because this is the most intoxicating thing. Even when we take to devotional service, this is explained by Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, that there are anartas that come from our past karma. We've done so many things we can't even remember. I can't even remember what I did, you know, a few years ago, but what to speak of a few lifetimes ago. And that's going in a long chain. So those reactions are still coming. And we don't know exactly what's going to happen. So we have to be careful to take shelter of Krishna. The body is like a tree, actually, described in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The body is a tree. And that tree has seeds. And the way that one must extinguish this material existence and become firmly established in the spiritual existence is that we have to fry the seeds on that tree. And that is done through Sankirtan. In fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he saw that the Sankirtan movement was spreading like a flood, it was sweeping the land like a flood, it was drowning those seeds of material enjoyment. And when the seed becomes drowned, it actually becomes ineffectual. Or sometimes it's said the seed becomes fried or drowned. Whatever way, all the seeds on that tree, by absorption in devotional service, they have to become rendered ineffective to stop this material existence. So if we take shelter of Sankirtan and we take shelter of the chanting of the holy names of the Lord, then by his association, by his shakti and potency, then we can fry those seeds and become situated in our actual position as eternal servitor of the Lord. So I was saying, Trinada Pisunichena, Toror Apisunichena, we have to cultivate this humility. In our community here, the most important thing is that we have the association of devotees. And the way to stay in the association of devotees in a productive way is that we should see all the devotees as desire trees. Vanshakalpaturubhyascha krupasanabhyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Devotees, Vaishnav devotees of the Lord, they're like desire trees. You know, a desire tree, when you go to it, it'll give you anything. Anything you want. And same thing with a Vaishnav. That's what a Vaishnav means. A Vaishnav is so kind and compassionate. Vaishnav does not have any personal desires. He or she only lives for the benefit of others, just like the tree. Only gives to others. It's not taking from the environment. It's only giving. So when the demigods were in great distress because of fighting with Ritasura, they didn't know how they were going to fortify Indra to come back and fight with this great demon. This is from the Rig Veda and from also Srimad Bhagavatam, but they went, you know, where they got their weapon was from Didichi. They found out that Didichi had his bones. You had to get his bones in charity. And by getting those bones, they could make through mantra and through the sacred fire, they could make this special weapon by which they could actually kill Vritasura, who was a great challenge to the demigods and their status quo. So they went to Didichi and they asked him for a little charity. They said, "We need one thing from you. Don't mind." "What is it?" And he knew what they were coming for, but he wanted to hear this self-realization philosophy because he liked it so much. And he said, "What do you want?" They said, "We need your bones." He said, "Well, how can I do that?" Even though he was ready to give them, he still wanted to hear this philosophy of self-realization. And they began to preach how you're not your body, how if you sacrifice this life for the sake of the Lord, for the sake of the Lord's devotee and his mission, then you're a success. And if you live for many, many years, but you don't do anything for that, you may protect yourself, you may protect your money for so long through insurance and through good health and through taking vitamins, but it will die. It will be taken away. It will be burgled. It will be plundered by the government. People that lived in Cuba, they thought they had it good, and then Castro took over, and they were kicked out in one day. Same thing happened in South Africa. All over the world, things have happened like that. You think you're doing fine? Maya will kick you out in a second. So we can't take shelter here. So Didichi gave his bones in charity, and that's a Vaishnav. A Vaishnav's ready to give anything. If you come and ask a Vaishnav for wealth, if he or she has wealth, he will give it. He'll give you everything. That's what Vaishnavism actually is. This is actually means that the devotee's taken shelter of Krishna. He has no personal desire anymore. It's something to take for himself. He wants only to serve and to give. So this assemblage of devotees, it means that we have to be in the spirit of great humbleness towards everyone, especially towards the Vaishnavas. We should be very humble and meek, and we should also be like a tree. We should try to give everything possible to serve the devotees. And at all costs, avoid any kind of political dealings or any kind of envy towards the devotees, because this is the death of our devotional service and of a devotional community. What keeps it alive is great as cultivating this great humility and this spirit of service towards the devotees, towards one another. And then from there, everything else can flourish. You know, things may come and go. We may be in all kinds of different situations. Like the devotees in, where was it? Where they're getting kicked out by the government?
Kazakhstan.
They build a beautiful big community up there. And now the government's coming in bulldozing their houses. So, sorry, you can't stay here anymore. And there's nothing they can do, practically. They're trying everything, but they can't. But the devotees were saying, actually, it's not so bad because we have each other. We can move anywhere. We can move this spirit somewhere else and take up devotional service. This is the main asset that we have. It's actually the only asset. Our body won't protect us. Our money won't protect us. Our material assets are practically useless. So we should not become intoxicated by them. We should not even take shelter of them. But we should really take shelter of Krishna, the devotees of Krishna, and the holy name. By taking shelter of the holy names, by chanting Hare Krishna every day as our main stay in life. We eat every day. We go to the latrine every day. We do all these things regularly to take care of ourselves, and then we neglect chanting Hare Krishna. We cannot do that and make advancement in spiritual life. The mainstay of our life has to be chanting 16 rounds. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Without at least that or the endeavor to come to that position, there's practically no movement or very slow movement in spiritual life. So this should be our ideal, to come up to this position of making this the center point of our life, of associating with the holy name of the Lord. And then we'll experience a different kind of intoxication, as being mentioned here. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Ek Bar Nam, Rashe Matore. Let's just try to become intoxicated by the rush that comes from chanting Hare Krishna. If you feel that one time, like even a couple of times, like I know when we were having our programs here, and it was, I can't remember which festival it was, but Satyadev and I were locked in the corner here, and we were chanting, and I was watching. All the devotees were jammed in, and the kirtan was really going. And I saw Milan Doshi over in the corner. I can talk about it because he's not here, right? I saw Milan Doshi over in the corner, and I could see he was actually hearing the mantra. And he was in ecstasy. I mean, he already looking at him, you know, you feel ecstasy just by seeing him anyway. But when he lit up by hearing the holy name of the Lord, I felt such great happiness. Because I saw, there's Milan Doshi, there's the holy name, and it actually, he's become intoxicated by hearing the holy name. He was, you know, he couldn't hold himself together anymore. And I've seen in Vrindavan during the 24-hour kirtan, when I go to Vrindavan during Kartik, people pack in for this 24-hour kirtan. And the sound vibration there, the mantra is so clear. You're sitting in front of Krishna Balaram, and you can hear that mantra coming out so strong and so clear. And you come in there, and you can just sit and be washed over by the power of the mantra come at you like a freight train, the holy name of the Lord. And I watch and I see some people come in and they feel it too. The name hits them and they start dancing and they can't stop. This is what we want. That's actual advancement in spiritual life, to get this. Evam vratasva priyanama kirta jatanu rago jutachuta uchir. The heart must melt. It has to actually melt away by the association of the holy name of the Lord. So try to get this kind of intoxication. Then Rupa Goswami is saying that then you're in a rarefied company of the great sages and munis. All the common people, all the people who are just faces in the crowd, they get their intoxication from these material things. But the great sages, they're the ones. Ai mukta kale upasimanam, the liberated people, they get their intoxication from chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So I see that there's a rather large class today, and it's very nice. Hare Krishna. It's so ecstatic to be here with all the devotees, and I just want to thank everyone for your association. I come here for my own self-purification and feel overwhelmed by the kind of association that Krishna has allowed me to be in. And I thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for allowing me to be here and to in some way participate in this wonderful project that's come together here. It's some kind of miracle that's happening here. Everyone's volunteers. Everyone comes here because they want to. No one's being paid to come here. And this is the most wonderful thing, that devotees come here. And every single devotee you look at, they have their own impetus for spiritual life. And I worry about the devotees all the time, needlessly practically, because I'm always thinking, where's such and such? Where's he going now? Where's this devotee? Is he okay? And it consumes me. But then I realize, why should I worry? They're, you know, part and parcel of Krishna. They have their own relationship. They have their own impetus, and I should worry about myself. Try to stay in Krishna consciousness. But every time I come and I'm with the devotees, with all of you here, I feel this great benediction and happiness that, again, the miracles happen. Somehow or other, we've come together. We're following the footsteps of the sages in Naimasaranya, hearing and chanting Srimad Bhagavatam. We're chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And then we have some great enterprise that's developing so that we can go out and distribute it to others. And devotees are taking so many serious services in that regard to spread the chanting of Hare Krishna all over the Bay Area and all over the world. I just got reports. We've been getting regular reports from Iraq. And there's a devotee named there, Partasarti, who Nirkul is keeping in close contact with and sending, you know, goods to and things like that. And we're getting reports about smart boxes. He now has 8 smart boxes there in Iraq. And he said they're selling out so quick that he needs more books. So we have to send more books. I mentioned it to Venki, and he said, let's immediately get more books to them, send them more books. I said, what are they paying with? And guess what they're putting in the box, in the smart boxes? They're putting in POGs. A POG is military money. It's made out of cardboard. You thought like tin and aluminum was bad, but now that they're making money out of cardboard, it's what they get to spend on the base, on the military base. There's these little coins. They're made out of cardboard. And he says they fill up. The boxes are filling up with these POGs, and people are taking Gitas and all kinds of books. And here's some other news. Now, this is big news. I found out, I said, what about Farsi books? I said, he's Farsi? Of course they speak Farsi here. He said, I go out on missions all the time and there's lots of Farsi-speaking people. I knew this Farsi thing, we were onto something, right? Isn't this huge? I mean, think of it. This is big. See, anywhere you concentrate, because it's Krishna, it's not different than Krishna. And somehow I got into my mind, you know, these Farsi books. Because, you know the whole story, and we got Farsi books, and they're 20 points each, and all this kind of stuff. And now look what it's leading to. Because I just mentioned to him, I said, we have Farsi books. Send me Farsi books. He's going to go out on missions. and distribute Farsi books while he's out there. That means Prabhupada's books are infiltrating Iraq in the war zone. How else would that have happened? Now we know why Krishna arranged this war. No one can figure out why we're fighting the war, because it's unwinnable. You know, the Democrats are like, this is crazy. You're an insane idiot for getting into the war. And the Republicans are going, yeah, yeah, but we can't get out. So nobody knows what to do. And now we know, we're the ones who know, that it's because Prabhupada's books are entering through this position and we're sending it into Iraq. This is how the Sankirtan movement spreads. You ask the devotees from Russia how it all started. One little book getting in the country. And it's like the wedge was in the door. The power of the sound vibration is there. It's in the book. Easy Journey to Other Planets, right? Came into Russia. And devotees would read them, pass them around from one person to the next. And then it's like a little break in the dam. A little drop comes through. Ah, that's nothing. That's just one Farsi book. No, it's not. That means the whole dam's going to break. It means Krishna's coming. It means he's going to start killing demons and you know, purifying the place. So this is our mission. This is what we're here. This is miraculous. We actually have some great occupation we've been given, and it's authorized. It's authorized by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's authorized by Bhaktisiddhanta and all the great acharyas. Srila Prabhupada's sitting here right with us. We're distributing his books that are coming down through this disciplic succession. This is the choicest words of poetry in the universe, and nobody knows about it. And nobody knows what's good for them. Everyone's walking around in ignorance. So this is our great challenge we have here, and a great benediction that we've been given some service here at ISV. So at all costs, we should take shelter of the devotees through great humility to try to serve the devotees and be desire trees, to try to fulfill the desires of others by giving our service as much as we can, because nothing else counts in this lifetime. All the money we accumulate, all the other things that we think are important are not important. The only thing that's important is our service that we do for the devotees. And we should try to push on this movement using all our God-given talents. We have so much talent here, and we have to organize it so that we can do something that's so significant that Krishna will turn his attention towards us more and more. We want Lord Chaitanya to look at us and say, oh yes, something really big has happened here due to the sincere desire and organization of the devotees. So we'll go on facing challenges. They'll come more and more. And the more we face them and go on spreading Krishna consciousness through spreading the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, spreading the distribution of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam throughout the Bay Area, and meeting with people and introducing them to Krishna consciousness in a very personal way, bringing them closer, the more we'll become successful in spiritual life. Om Tat Sat. And I really mean that. Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Gop Premanande.